Welcome to episode 91 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, myself, Ian Levesine, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. And it's four books this month from the review corner. One was late, and now it's not, and we're going to review it. I'm a bad singer. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levesine, and welcome to episode 91 of Comic Timing. And we
are part deux, the
second time we're trying to record this shit. And what's sad is that we lost the Mike Tyson bit, and that's just going to really, really upset me. Son of a bitch.
You're right.
That's
going to be great, but oh well.
But on the bright side, we're joined by a co-host, Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Just trying to get this over with.
I'm
just kidding.
You're only half kidding.
I'm having a good time.
Good. I'm glad. Why? Because you're not looking at the manuals anymore?
Yeah, exactly. I actually got a computer and I'm doing shit now. So.
Oh, good. Okay, all right. What do they got you doing?
I'm training. Taking online training courses.
Wow, that sounds so much more interesting.
Yeah, no, there's a big briefing tomorrow, so until this briefing happens tomorrow, there's not a whole lot I can do, so.
Briefing you with briefs on.
Exactly.
So, this episode, yeah, it's a review corner, and what better way to celebrate a review corner than being brought to you by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com, and where does the promo go, Brent? Where's it go? Right here?
And we are inserting the Heroes Corner ad right here. I will do it. All right. I'll be the good editor. All right, our picks for this month. Fantastic Four, number 570. The first issue of Dale Eaglesham and Jonathan Hickman. Goodbye, Miller and Hitch. Hello, on time. Let's hope so. Doom Patrol, number 1. We got Keith Giffen and Matthew Clark, as well as Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and that Maguire guy. From Justice League Unlimited, or International, you know, just a small-known guy, doing the Metal Man backup. So, Fantastic Four is 75% off retail at Heroes Corner. Regular price, $2.99. Heroes Corner price for Comic Timing, 75 cents. Doom Patrol, regular price, $3.99. Heroes Corner discount at 50% off, $2. And our indie pick is Days Missing Number 1. And I forgot what this is about, but it looks really cool, because that's why we picked it. 50% off retail, so your price is $50, or not $50, 50 cents. Holy cow, that's a big difference there. Regular price of only a dollar, so that's pretty damn good. Just a regular $1 comic. And the Dale Keown cover is 50 cents, and if you want the Phil Hester Limited cover, he's the writer. He's writing this, and I think Dale Keown is on art, so that looks pretty cool. Phil Hester cover is regular $3.99, regular price is only 50% off of $2. So pick whichever cover you want, but the price is a little bit different, but still a steal. So we'll see you next month.
And promo code CTROCKS, CTROCKS, get an additional 5% off on your order from Heroes Corner, best damn customer service around, heroescorner.com. So let's say we begin with Marvel.
Okay.
Considering that's the one that we didn't actually start doing yet in the other one. So, now that I have it grabbed, here we go. All right. Captain America Comics, issue number 1 from the lovely Timely Comics Corporation. And I must say, some of my favorite comics come out of Timely. They're timely. They're on time.
I was just going to make that joke.
We didn't say it fast enough.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you. Now the writing team and the art team on this one. I mean, talk about stellar. You got James Robinson with Marcos Martin, and you got a reprint in the back from a certain team known as Simon and Kirby. I don't know if you heard of them.
Some dudes. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. No, they're really unimportant. Now this felt like vintage Captain America to me. I mean, what a wonderful story. I was eating this baby up, and especially the back. I mean, I was very sad to see that the Brooklyn Badgers lost some of their most important players. I don't know how they're going to do anything without them, considering that their entire team depends on players such as not Joe DiMaggio and not Lou Gehrig.
I didn't read the back, so they actually have not in front of their name?
No. Well, they use fake team names for the baseball teams. In fact, the Brooklyn Badgers take on the Boston Blue Sox.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I'm trying to find the exact name of the players that wind up dying in this. Let's see. Yeah. Joe DiRaggio.
That's just too funny.
I know. I mean, you don't even try with that. That and the big villain of this, his name is the Mole, and he kind of looks like Batman.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. I didn't read this at all in the backup, so.
He is the knight.
So, yeah. What'd you think of the part that you did read?
I liked it. I thought it was serviceable.
Serviceable?
I was expecting a Captain America story, and I got a Steve, what can I say? I did like it for what it was, but something to celebrate the 60th anniversary, I mean, it had the whole spirit of who is Cap and what does Cap mean and all this other stuff, but I don't know. Kind of left wanting. More Cap, not Steve Rogers. I'm just saying.
You're just saying?
It was well written, and I love the art, but I'm left wanting more, which, you know, can't rave about it if that happens.
Right. Well, I think that this was the sort of story that they really wanted to do here. It was a simple, one and done type thing, like a recollection type story. Going back to his roots, and I'm not sure if this part of the origin of Captain America was ever actually really told, that if not for him, he wouldn't even have the serum that Steve Rogers eventually takes.
I've never heard of it before, so
yeah,
I'm gonna guess this is no.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was fun. That's what I'll say about the story. I mean, and Marcos Martín's art. You want an artist that harkens back to days gone by? This is the guy to go to.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like, I didn't finish reading this and go, oh, that was $3.99 wasted. I was like, oh, okay, that was a good, you know, use of my money. I enjoyed it, but can't rave about it. I'm sorry.
Would you rather have gotten, say, like two Captain America stories, one in current continuity and one in previous?
Or give me this story and give me another regular Cap story.
Okay.
I mean, I guess they got through that in there with the old book, but
yeah, and the old book, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt since these are really, really old comics, but it is one of the silliest stories I've ever read in my life, man. I mean, come on. Captain America steps in and basically becomes the entire team of the Brooklyn Badgers when their players start dying off due to some, you know, manipulation from a guy who wanted to buy the team, but they wouldn't let him buy the team. So he started poisoning all the players because he thought for some reason this would make the team easier to buy. That's nice circular logic for you, right?
I don't even know what you said, so.
What the fuck?
Sorry. I am paying attention. I'm not playing video games this time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thought perhaps I started doing again or something.
No.
Oh, okay, all right. But should I repeat what I said?
No, you just move on. I heard what you said. It's just it's old comics, so I just tuned it out, I guess.
Oh,
you know.
God.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys.
You just don't want to know where your history comes from, do you?
I like knowing history. It doesn't necessarily mean I want to read it.
But that's what the $3.99 is all about. You get a reprint in the back because that's why they charge $3.99.
See, it's not a reprint worth reprinting and reading, like Dark Hawk number one in Dark Cock War of Kings. That was worth reading to me because I didn't know anything about the character, and there is a primo example of, you know, you don't know anything about the character? Here you go.
I think it's
just an ancillary baseball story that doesn't really serve the purpose of getting to know Captain America. Other than he played baseball in the 1940s.
I think Dark Cock might have been a different book.
That's a different bookstore. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, man. I really don't want to know about, you know, what you do in your spare time. So the story, I mean, did it at least feel like Captain America to you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you'd give it what?
A three. Like to me, like this cover promises Nazi bashing, mm-hmm. excitement, classic Cap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's not what you got.
That's not what I get.
But this does also harken back to the days where on the cover you'd see Captain America fighting Nazis, and then you open up the page and it's Captain America fighting in a baseball game.
Okay, fair game. I mean, that.
You know, back in the 30s and shit, they put these, like, overhyping covers in there, so you'd pick up the issue, and then you'd find, like, Captain America goes to the nail salon.
I would hope not.
What, he had a hangnail?
Only if he's getting a French.
Oui. Oh, omelette tout fromage. All right, so, yeah. I enjoyed it. I'm going to give it a 4, because I liked it a lot more than you, apparently. But
okay.
All right. So James Robinson, should he stick with DC?
He can come back to Cap anytime.
Really?
I thought so. He's a good writer.
He most certainly is. So would you like to see him someday take over for Brew, perhaps?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, though, with Brubaker right now, I'm kind of getting tired of the slow plotting story. I kind of feel like it's just taking too long. To manifest. I feel like the first half of these 50 issues moved a lot quicker.
Okay.
And whereas once we've ended from the, you know, the three, 6-part epic of what, you know, Bucky becoming Cap, it's kind of like falling off the horse.
Huh. You know,
that's just me.
Well, it's actually not just you. I've heard this from a couple other people. I mean, I myself don't agree with it. I think it's still as great as it ever was. I mean, obviously there was a bit of a change with the bringing on some extra artists and stuff, which did sort of change the pacing of the book a little bit, because originally you only had, what, the two artists going back and back, and now you mm-hmm. got on, like, Butch Geist and, like, two or three other people also involved in the art process. With Epting only seems to do, like, what, one every 4 issues now, which is really weird, because before he was always on time and stuff, so I guess now he's just getting a lighter load.
Well, he's totally off now. He's doing, the Marvels project with Brubaker,
really?
Which is like the origins of the Marvel universe in the 1940s.
Huh. So he's off it entirely, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Wow. What does it say that I didn't even notice?
I don't know.
I guess that must mean that they're doing a decent job with these fill-in artists. But
yeah, I think so. I think Butch Geist is the best of them. I don't really like Luke Ross.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer Butch Geist, but... You know, that's just me.
Luke Ross is a little stiff.
Yeah.
The stiffy. But yeah, all right. So yes, yeah, so I give it a 4. I'd certainly like to see James Robinson do more stuff for Marvel, even though I like his DC stuff. It's just that this was the first Marvel thing James Robinson did since, like, Heroes Were Born.
Yeah.
Which says something, man.
I've only read his Superman stuff, and that first arc with the Atlas stuff kind of read a little disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever he's doing, he's improving as he's, you know, coming back to comics or whatever, wherever he was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's always been around comics, in and around comics, but now, and plus he was even on the show once, but, you know, he's always been in the comics world. He just wasn't doing anything for DC for a while. Like, he did Wildcats for a few years. And did a bunch of other stuff for, like, Image and things, and now he's finally coming back into the big DC and Marvel world, I guess. But I know you're probably not going to read it anytime soon, considering that, you know, it's hella expensive, but you should definitely try and pick up the Starman Omnibus once you actually get, like, a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
You will enjoy that a lot. It's your type of comic.
That's on my list. I mean, I just picked up the second Preacher trade, so I think I'm going to finish that out now.
Oh.
And I got to catch up on the Dark Tower hardcovers. Got to get the third one. But that I am eyeing those Starman Omnibuses.
I'm the buy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the boost.
I'm the bus. I'm on the bus. Get off my back. I'm coming.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat.
Motherfucker, I'm on a motherfucking boat. Did you see the video for I'm the Boss?
Oh, yeah, I did. I really didn't like the video much.
No, I like the on a boat better.
When you get a chance, search YouTube for The Office Like a Boss, because I think a much better version is one that people cut to clips from The Office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like for instance, the score some Coke line is Pam putting a Coke down on Jim's desk.
All right, I will do that.
All right. So, let's mix things up a little bit. And
Sloth Rebirth.
Sloth Rebirth. Slow-mo Rebirth number one. Well, that even put me to sleep. So, written by Jeff Johns with art by Ethan Van Sciva. And, yeah, your thoughts, Mr. Sir.
Like I said before, Sloth Rebirth.
it was a very
going
very
on the
slow
first
issue
alone. If we were just reviewing the first issue, and we're going to talk about one and two in this, but if we were to do this, like if we were on time and stuff, and we did this a month ago, I would not be very happy with this book.
I would be crying my eyes out. I'd be like, why, Jeff Johns? Why would you stop writing Wally West and go back to the boring one?
He's kind of a dick. I don't really like him at all. To be quite honest,
yeah.
I don't.
Well, he keeps talking about how, like, yeah, Barry Allen keeps talking to everybody about how, I don't want to be remembered as a hero. Yeah, you're not going to be remembered as a hero. You're going to be remembered as a dick.
You're a jerk. People are throwing parties for you, and you don't even give a shit to show up and say, hey, I'm kind of busy ignoring you and looking into something that, you know, whatever.
That's my favorite thing. Yeah, sorry, guys. I'm sort of ignoring you right now. But, like, even when he's talking to Hal. I mean, Hal hasn't seen him in, like, God.
Yeah, no,
like
no
years,
hug or
years.
Anything.
Yeah. And, but
no. Did they even shake hands? I don't know.
Well, and let's remember, who's going to relate to Hal better than Barry? You know, both of them have been dead for
a long
period of time.
There's a pat on the back, but no hug, no shaking hands. I'm sorry. If my best friend came back from the dead after, 10 years or so, he's going to get a bear hug whether he likes it or not.
Yes, and then I will take him to the nearest bar and at least buy him 5 beers.
Amen. And be like, dude, whatever you have to do can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Flash or not.
I'm sure Barry Allen's response to the beer would be, I don't drink. And then
no, but
off.
I mean, like, seriously, dude, priorities. I know you're the Flash and you come back from the dead, but you haven't seen, okay, maybe to him it hasn't been that long, but these other people haven't seen you in forever. Mm-hmm. Particularly your wife, nephew, and grandson?
Yes.
I would think that priorities for first and family comes first.
Oh, speaking of nephew, by
but
the way.
He's just like, nah, fuck it,
yeah.
Whatever.
Let me touch on the nephew thing real quick, okay? Because...
you didn't know he's back? Neither did I.
Neither did anybody. I mean, okay, so Legion of Three Worlds number... Was that number three?
Three
that
came
was three.
Out.
Yeah, number
with him
three.
Coming out of the Speed Force as
right.
Kid Flash.
Yeah, and then I'm like,
and the next time we see him is in this one.
Yeah,
and he's Kid Flash. And it's like, I guess Bart survives,
and I guess he comes back. Aged. Yeah,
yeah,
great, terrific. Well, I think it would have been even better though if sitting alongside Bart would have been Connor.
There's a moment in the most recent Teen Titans where they want to bring back like Wonder Girl's parents or something like that. Or maybe it's the one coming out. I saw it on preview or something like that. And like they're like, do you want to bring back anybody from the dead or talk to any loved ones? And she's just kind of like, And I was like, he's back. Don't you know? Hello? Breaking news.
Well, I think that whole thing would have gone better if she would have said, yes, I'd love to bring him back. And in fact, let me talk to him one more time. And they go, you know, they do the little seance. And he's like, I keep getting a busy signal.
It's empty.
I'm sorry. The person you're trying to reach is no longer
it's
dead.
It's not available.
Yes.
Please try again.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and wait until he's dead again. Yeah, well, look, and all right. Barry Allen does not need to be back. I'm just going to say that right now. Okay?
Yes, agreed.
Because what are you trying to do here? Seriously, DC, what the hell are you trying to do here? I mean, we're aging. Okay, Brent? You're getting older. You just graduated college. Admit it.
Agreed.
Your life's going downhill, all right? Before you know it, you're going to be 45. I mean...
Okay, Adam Carolla. Jesus Christ.
Well, all right, but hear me out here. So what do you do to appease all of those new young readers that you should be trying to attract? You bring back a character that's been dead since 1987. What the fuck?
I was only a year old then.
I was three. I mean, this is bad taste.
The only Barry Allen I've ever read was when he died.
The only Barry Allen that I've read were the three times he came back in Geoff Johns' run. You know, when Wally was supposed to see Barry like three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before Barry was supposed
to be visited by three ghosts of girlfriends past.
Yes.
Not a bad movie, actually. I liked it.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously. Hey, I'm a sucker for Jennifer Garner. What can I say?
That's what she said. Yeah, you'd love you'd love to sucker Jennifer Garner, wouldn't you?
She can have me anytime.
Mm. Yeah, I sort of stopped liking her after Juno. I liked it. It's just that she played such a bitch in that movie. It just sort of like ruined all my expectations for her. But all right, let's go back to comics. So I mean, again, going back to what I'm saying, I mean, you're supposed to be getting new readers and stuff. Wally West has been in all the cartoons of the past couple years, and now you bring back Barry. Buh? Gubba da buh? Huh? Oh, they're going in circles, DC Comics. They're going in fucking circles, and I hate it. You're excused.
Thank you. Sorry. Damn Diet Coke. No, but Dan DiDio is always making this speech about, you know, the most classic interpretations of the characters. So we're bringing back Hal Jordan. We're bringing back Barry Allen. But we're going to get rid of Batman and Superman and maybe Wonder Woman. We don't know.
I'm just
confused by his whole policy here.
Don't forget. And we're going to bring back Aquaman as a zombie.
Yeah, I love the backpedaling on the Final Crisis Aquaman thing.
No.
Why is Aquaman in Final Crisis number 7? Well, that's the real Aquaman. He's there if you want him to be. Planet number 0. That was just a myth. Those are rumors. They weren't true.
So what about
And now Dan DiDio's like, yeah, it's exactly as Geoff Johns said it. Those are rumors. That was a multiverse Aquaman. We just didn't tell you at the time.
So what about Hawkman and Hawkgirl? No, that was Earth 7 Hawkman and Hawkgirl who died.
I know.
They were on vacation.
I didn't think they died. Whatever. I really don't care.
Hey. All right. When Sean Whalen, the biggest Hawkman fan in the world, thinks that that his favorite character is dead, and then he just shows up out of nowhere.
It's like they said in that issue of JLA, Roy is at some tombstone. He's like, this is Kendra's favorite place.
It makes
her real happy. Turns her on real good.
Yeah, we talked about this. We talked about this last episode while you were asleep. Right. Yeah,
we did. Sorry.
All right, but okay, and okay. Here's number two. Okay, and I keep saying okay.
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 I'm not editing out that. Okay.
All right. Okay. Fuck. So you bring back Savitar.
This always happens when we record things twice.
I know. Well,
and we started with new books, too.
No, what's great about this, though, is that we're actually funnier now than we were the entire fucking time.
It always happens when we record.
I know. We're better. We should just lose every recording.
Just do it 10 minutes in.
Yeah, and I guarantee you everything will be fun. All right, so you bring back Savitar. That's number two. I just finished reading the story. About a month ago, where Savitar dies. Yes, dies, because he runs into the fucking Speed Force, and that's that. All right? So what do? You take him out of the Speed Force, and you kill him for real. What? Guy gets like 5 seconds on panel until eventually you kill him
Ian,
off again.
Ian?
Yes?
Sava who?
The Speed guy.
Yeah, I know who he is, but I've never seen him before, so it didn't impact me at all.
Okay, Mark Waid's Run of the Flash, just for reference. I believe it's Race Against Time, if I remember correctly.
I remember Sean and Jim talking about this arc.
Yeah.
Or was it one time.
Or was it Dead Heat? It might have been Dead Heat, yeah. Well, okay. Either way, just one of those Mark Waid trades. I mean, if you want, next time I see you, I'll bring like three of them, and you can just mail them back to me. All right, because I'm done with them at this point. But yeah.
Done with them. Yeah. Fuck them.
And then in the second issue, yeah, we'll mention the second issue too, why not? I mean, you bring back Lady Flash for like 8 seconds also, and hey, she seems more powerful, and now she's dead. What?
Goodbye.
Yeah. Okay. But focusing on this first issue here, again, here's my third thing. Dear Geoff Johns, just because you're Geoff Johns doesn't mean you need to turn everyone's origin into Batman.
That's all new, right? I don't know anything about Barry Allen, but
his parents,
it seems kind of convenient for that to be there.
His parents were at his trial.
Mysteriously.
Yes.
That'll be the plot of the third issue. Who was at my trial as my parents?
Well, what are we to believe that's like his stepfather and stepmother or whatever? I don't freaking know. It's just they're trying to make him like gritty and you know, not like such a square.
A dick. They're trying to make him a dick. Yeah, he was a saint. I don't understand.
Yeah, and Wally West started out as a dick and now isn't. So what? What's the dealy? What the dealio? You know, it feels like DC Comics is doing such a good job with their Superman titles and doing such a great job with their, a decent job with their Batman titles.
We don't know yet, for sure.
I know. I mean, Battle for the Cow number 3 was, but then again, the entire Battle for the Cow was sort of, because, you know, Tony Daniel.
The mystery was not really there.
Yeah. That and Tony Daniel is a proven writer. Cough, cough. But
I love the interview with him. Yeah, Judd Rinnick said he developed this concept, and then they kind of gave it to you. Is that true? No, it's all mine. All mine. That's bullshit.
Then there was the iFanboy interview with him from New York Comic Con, where he stated that Judd Rinnick came up with the concept and that he just wrote it. So, yeah, all right. But
that's the reason why Judd Rinnick's writing the Batman title, not Tony Daniel.
Very, very true. Very, very true, sir. But let's get back to what I was saying, though. They're doing a decent job with the Superman stuff, decent job with the Batman stuff, and they seem to just be mishandling the Flash because, yeah, Barry spoiling Flash number 2 here might be the Black Flash. So who's going to be Flash in the end? Is it going to be Wally? Because you could have done that without Flash Rebirth and bringing back Barry.
But we're giving them a purpose.
The purpose to die?
See, this is, I think, the difference between this and Green Lantern Rebirth. And yes, I think, again, well, it bears comparison because A, it's the same team, and B, it's got the Rebirth name on it.
Yes.
So they're trying to draw these comparisons.
Ooh.
Or make you think that this is going to be as great as Green Lantern Rebirth was.
Just like that other book that we'll be talking about later.
Exactly. But ultimately, I think Green Lantern Rebirth started something, and you went, huh? What the hell is going on? At the end of the first issue, here it's like, they're just convulsing, and Power Girl's tits, what? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you open up the book, and you have him killing Savitar, and then all these other Flashes are like convulsing and itty bitty tiny panels. So I'm reading along this for the first time, and I'm like, okay, we got more pages. And I don't feel the cover yet. And I look over, and it's Power Girl's boobs. And I'm going, ah, god damn it! I hate these preview pages in the back. Put an ad there.
Yeah,
break
please.
Up the flow. Jeez.
Yeah,
and the Animal Man ones too, and they're so annoying.
You're the Black Flash, boobies.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, what do you think of the art, Van Sciver? Because
I'm a Van Sciver sucker. I love Van Sciver, but
I know you are. That's why I'm asking, because this is not my favorite Van Sciver.
No, it might be just because the book's boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
To me, Van Sciver redefined Green Lantern with the flashing, you know, whatever, and the energy things. So here it's like, oh, lightning. So it's kind of similar. So he's trying to do the same thing with the lightnings, like coming off of them all the time. But I think in the end, it kind of just looks like a rehash of what he's already done in Green Lantern. He might have been the wrong choice for this. I mean, I don't know.
I would agree that he is the wrong choice, because even with like the scenes with the cop in the first issue, I don't know, something feels like stagnant to me. Like there's no movement in a book about speed.
He's always kind of had that complaint that his art is so detailed it seems stagnant.
Mm-hmm. And let's remember, this is a guy who self-taught himself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he never went to an art school or anything. This is his art style, which he crafted himself. And some would say that that's a bonus. Some would say that that's a detriment. And I'm not going to go either direction because I've been a fan of his stuff in the past. I mean, I read Flash Iron Heights, which Van Sciver did art on, and I loved it.
Yeah, I like the fact that his anatomy is not always perfect and everything just, you know, you look at something one time, it passes over, and then you go back and look at it, and something looks funny.
Mm-hmm.
I like that imperfection to it.
Which is funny, because when we talk about Edition City later, that's going to be a problem.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. I guess I'm just a hypocrite. But
you hypocrite. The imperfections. Bastard.
No, there's a difference between imperfections, you know, here, where he's actually trying. Whereas in Ignition City, it doesn't look like he's trying.
Okay. All
like right. Here, you can tell Vince Guyver is pouring actual effort into these pages.
Yeah.
Into the characters and the backgrounds and everything like that. Whereas Ignition City, it just looks like the backgrounds.
And
I know listeners are going, what the hell are you talking about? But, you know, sorry.
Well, and what's the deal with Dr. Alchemy?
He's just sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, he's talking about, like, what were his exact words? I hope he forgave me or whatever. I mean,
what he did to her. So that's something coming up then. Because he was sitting in Iron Heights when they did that issue, right?
Yeah.
He was still there.
It's not like he was the one who, you know, I mean, it's not like he was the one who tried to rape Iris or anything, was he?
Maybe he killed the mom.
Ooh.
I'm calling it right there.
Okay. I could see that. I forget which.
I wonder if you remember me and if you're still angry what I did to her.
Hmm.
And okay. His mom was killed.
All right. I'll go with that.
And supposedly Dr. Alchemy is supposed to be a favorite of either like Geoff Johns or Van Sciver, or both of them or something like that.
Geoff Johns likes any member of the Flash Rogues. You know that.
Yes, I do. I'm aware.
And if Captain Cold doesn't show up in this by like issue 4, I quit.
Right. But for me, my complaint with the first issue, you had these first pages, which was like, okay, cool. There's something bigger going on here from the very beginning. You know, and then this guy gets struck by lightning and red lightning and whatever. And then it's just, let's walk around a museum for a while and ignore everyone else. Because I don't want to go to these parties.
And how does no one notice him? How does no one notice him?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess people don't know his identity anymore because on the Dr. Alchemy panel it just says Central City's Flash Returns.
Okay.
Or Keystone City, whatever one it is, Flash Returns. It doesn't say Barry Allen Returns.
And
they make a big deal in the second issue that not many people know his identity or something like that.
Okay. Well, you know what? You know what my problem is? I don't know if Iris Allen's book was actually ever published anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the life and times of the Flash. I think that might have been taken out of continuity. She decided not to write it or something.
Hmm.
You know, actually changing the future. I'm not sure. Well, and I'm just gonna end this here because again, we got to move on to other books.
Well, we haven't even talked about the second issue. I like the second issue a whole lot better than the first.
No, second
goes without saying.
Second issue is definitely better because there's more action in it, and there's actually some police investigation, which I like to see because that again, Barry going back to his roots, he might be a police scientist, but he's a policeman at heart. So obviously, if there's going to be an investigation to do, that's what he's going to go for. which is funny because police scientist Dr. Alchemy.
I think they should have ended the first issue with this revelation that he's the new Black Flash.
Yeah,
that would have gotten you hooked. You know what I mean? You would have sat straight up in your seat and going, yeah. "Oh damn,
dude." The first issue was not necessary at all. This should still be a 5-issue miniseries. Just take the first issue out.
Combine the two of them and make it a double-sized, and it would have been a great first issue.
Amen. Amen to that entirely. I mean, again, basing this solely on the first issue, for my opinions, I'm going to give it... You know, fuck it. A 2.5 out of 5. I mean,
I'll give the first issue a 3.
Okay.
Going on my scale that if it's a 3, I'll pick up the second one, which I did.
Right.
You know, just because of Vance Guyver art. But I love this. I didn't love the second issue, but I thought it was a whole lot better.
Yeah.
I liked the little bits with, you know, him meeting Iris Allen in the bow tie and, you know, the original Mirror Master and stuff like that. I did think it kind of took up too much of the story, though. That flashback scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was too many pages out of the story, I thought.
The flashbacks, I think, are actually the weakest part of the entire thing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd just do a caption and forget about it.
Okay.
But, you know, when you're retconning something, I guess you have to have a flashback.
Or you could just punch. Because, you know, retcon punch.
Shoroken.
Maybe that's how his
I want Barry Allen. I want Barry Allen to say flash fact.
Yes.
Speaking of Grant Morrison writing Barry Allen, he was a lot more interesting in Final Crisis than he was in these two issues.
Oh hell yes.
Will you agree with me there?
I will.
Because
agree
for some
you.
Reason that Barry Allen just seemed fucking cool.
I didn't even like Final Crisis, and I'll agree with you.
And here he does not seem cool. Like, Barry Allen came back, and he was all business, and he was like, flash fact, motherfucker. And just, like, boom, right through those people.
No, man.
He just seems cool, and here he's just, you know, I'm a dick. I don't want to go to your parties. You know, I'm a saint, but I'm trying to... It's a whole, like, teenage attitude thing, but he's, like, 35 years old.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be doing it. Seriously.
If the Barry Allen
And kids and grandnieces and nephews and your wife, I'm sorry.
If the Barry Allen from Flash Rebirth were to kiss Iris Allen in Final Crisis, she would spit and say, you pig.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. That's definitely what
I'm
thinking.
We'll see where this goes, but I'm not... After two issues, I'm not hailing this a success like we did with the Green Lantern Rebirth. At the end of the second issue of Rebirth for Green Lantern, you were in.
Oh yeah,
either in or out, and that was it. And here you're just kind of like, I don't know.
Now I'm just like, I want Wally back. Give me Wally.
Yeah, because at the end of the second issue, you had Sinestro come back, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was like Sinestro's back. What the hell? And you had all this other stuff. I got to reread that now because it was so much better than this.
Well, they better not bring back Reverse Flash because they kind of already did that.
That's Zoom, right?
Yeah, Zoom. Yeah.
Zoom.
And guess what the storyline, well, major spoilers here, but whatever. Guess what the storyline was that Reverse Flash returned in last time?
Killed his dad?
The return of Barry Allen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Now, shall we go independent or shall we go other DC? Your choice.
Independent. We can go over this quickly since we've already been talking about it here and there. Why? And our listeners are like, what the hell, guys?
Why, sir, I have no idea what you speak of. This is the first time we
either.
Discussed this in this. Okay.
Absolutely. No. Okay. Quick review.
All right. All right, Ignition City number one. Quick summary of the book here for you people, all right? We got...
I can do it in two sentences.
Go ahead.
There is a steampunk world, girl flies spaceships, and looking for dad's dead stuff.
And that was issue one. All right.
Pretty much. Actually, I think I did a damn good job.
Yeah, you did actually do a
I mean, it's not like... And like I was saying before, which nobody knows about.
Stop
but,
saying that, damn it.
I know.
As I was so saying much, before in the just, episode that you will never hear.
It's natural to say because we've been talking for 2 hours here. But we've only been recording this episode for 41 minutes now.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
But I think if they, maybe if they introduced a little like murder subplot with her dad, then it might have been a little more interesting. But here it's just like, I'm an American, and I'm in Germany, and there are Zeppelins and planes, and my dad was a space pilot. He died. I'm going to go to this place called Ignition City and get his stuff
and
write my mom a letter.
And this is 1956 that this whole thing is taking place in. So obviously, technology went a little different in this world, and at this point, the whole space travel thing is already blasé in 1956, and everybody's like shutting down their things and everything. So that's why Ignition City looks like such an ugly, disgusting place, because no one gives a crap about it at this point. And you're right. I mean, there really is nothing for us to think about the father other than the father died, except for the last words spoken at the bar about, you know, like, you're not going to like this. You know, I mean, does that mean that the father had, you know, like, another side to him that he never let the daughter know about, Mary? I mean,
but when she says, you're not going to like a goddamn thing I have to say, she's smiling, not, like, scowling. It would have been better if they flipped those two panels, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first, oh, honey, you're Rick Rocks kid, at the bottom there, if they said, you're not going to like a goddamn thing I have to say, more, a little more impact than, you know, her smirking in a far-off shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how this whole thing would have been fixed, too?
Yeah.
If her eyes weren't at the level of her mouth.
Yeah. But going back to this story, it's not even an ending or a cliffhanger.
No, it's not. I mean...
There's no to be continued. I just turned the page and went... Ad.
It's another example. Example how Warren Ellis does nothing but write for the trade these days.
He really doesn't. Yeah. I guess not.
I mean, Astonishing X-Men. The same thing happened. His first issue of Astonishing X-Men just sort of ends. You know, there's really no cliffhanger or anything. It's just like the last line spoken by Storm, and then the issue's over. I expect there to be a next page, and that one didn't happen. And I got the same problem here. And again, this is Avatar we're talking about, so this is like Warren Ellis's zone, you know, like, I mean, he can get away with anything at this place. I mean, like, he could write a story about wiping his own shit, and they would probably wind up publishing it, and it would make millions for them. But this is a good story. I just wish it was better and told me more than the two sentences that you told me at the beginning, Brent. That's all it tells me. I'm hurt. I need something. Substance.
I'm counting 7 books in the back of this thing that Warren Ellis writes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's like 2 or 3 that he doesn't write that's being put out by Avatar.
Let's see. We got
Anna Mercury. Crossed. Dr. Sleepless.
Mm-hmm.
Gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Ignition City.
Mm-hmm.
No Hero.
Freak Angels.
And there's one more. Shit. Maybe there wasn't.
No, that's about it. But yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And he does.
I want to know. Prost has Jason Burroughs, who's a really good artist. Gravel, which their covers look amazing. Dr. Sleepless looks incredibly detailed. How did Warren Ellis end up with this guy?
And Crossed is Garth Ennis, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right, I take that back.
That's
okay. Ennis, Ellis, I get them messed up.
Yeah, well, they are very similar in many ways. I mean, just look at anything that's inside of The Boys, and that could very well be a Warren Ellis book. But yeah, I hear you. It looks like there was some sort of misstep here, because, okay, you look at the cover of Ignition City, and sure, it might not be the most perfect-looking cover, but at least there's anatomy here. You know, it's got interesting angles to it. It's almost Carlos Pacheco style in the face. I liked it. And then I opened it up, and it was like a totally different artist drew it, but no, it was the same artist. So
he just
what?
Didn't care.
Maybe. I don't know. Was he rushed or something, or did he just not put his full effort into it? And the backgrounds are gorgeous. It's just the front of the panels that aren't very nice. I'm hurting myself.
It's like, let's go and get Steve Bryant just to draw over these guys, just the people, and let the other guy do the backgrounds.
Okay.
And it would be a lot better.
Steve, if you're listening and
from what I've seen of Steve Bryant.
Yeah. This just in, Mr. Bryant, you know that we're fans. You're needed.
I still have my webcam on you.
Nice callback.
I know.
Wow, man. You actually
That's going to be the first thing I ever say when I meet him, if I ever do.
you'll probably meet him at the first CGS thing you go to, because he usually shows up with those.
Yeah.
All right. So, are you interested in issue 2 of Ignition City to find out what happens?
Negative.
Okay. All right. Even if there is some, there are some interesting plots going on, you're just not interested enough, huh?
No, I'm sorry. Just with the art and this issue alone, I'm sorry.
Well, actually, it just hit me. It totally hit me what this reminds me of and why I didn't like it. I got two words for you. Larry Stroman. Yeah.
Okay.
You have no idea who that is because you don't read X-Men.
No. I don't. Sorry.
All right. I mean,
I'm kind of glad.
I went on this huge rant back in the day because Larry Stroman used to be the artist of X-Factor back in the 90s, and he was decent then. Then he sort of stopped drawing for about 10 years, and then...
Well, I heard you and Raph talking about him a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah. And his X-Factor stuff was inconsistent, and the eyes were all over the place, and it was weird, and I didn't like it at all. Now I'm reminded of Larry Stroman's art in the faces of this book, and I think that might be why I don't like it. It's just, it's not the type of stuff that I want to see. It's simple as that. I mean, it suffers from the exact same problems that other book that we ragged into last time around had.
Oh, Cave Number One?
Yeah. I mean, doesn't it suffer from the same issues?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just, Cave Number One felt really, really amateur. And this one felt like you kind of know what you're doing with your backgrounds, but you need a little work on the human faces.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. So, how many? Out of
two.
Five. Two? All right. I'm going to give it a 2.5. Might pick it up. Maybe. But that's some big maybe. If it's in a dollar bin, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you picked up the rest of Bang Tango?
I've been picking it up. I'm sort of letting it stack a little bit.
Okay, I need to go out and find the rest of those because I really like that one.
Yeah. I flipped through number two and it looks as gorgeous as it did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gonna be good stuff. And we love you, Rodney. Seriously.
We love you.
You're awesome. Okay. So what have we not done? Because you know these two episodes flood together in my head.
We're doing Batman and Detective now.
All right. That's it.
Then we're done.
Then we're done? Wow.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's going to be like almost under an hour.
I don't believe you.
Believe me. I'm looking at the call time right here.
There must be something else because, I mean...
49:22. No, we did Cap. We did Flash.
No.
We did Ignition City in 10 minutes.
But Brent, you don't understand. We don't do episodes under an hour. That's just not possible.
No, we have like around an hour. Our first couple review corners were around this time. And then we started doing, you know, multiple more books, and you got Raph on, and it just prolonged the thing. And, you know,
yeah,
we're back into the groove now.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Shady's back.
Tell a friend. I actually just picked up the greatest hits of Mr. Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes with the recording of Stan that him and Elton John did at the Grammys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, not an Eminem fan.
Oh.
I mean, I am, but I'm not going to buy his albums. And I didn't think his new song is that great, so.
There are other songs on the album that are much better.
Well, the video where he's mocking everybody, that song did not grab me at all.
Oh, no, like, it's a horrible song. I mean, yes. It's ridiculously bad, but, you know, whatevs. All right, let's move on, shall we? To Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, another book that's trying to ape on another successful book in title.
Do you think you can keep the title straight this time?
Maybe. Whatever Happened to the Cape of Tomorrow?
That'd be like if Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman did like a Miracle Man issue together.
Whatever Happened to the Man Crusader?
But I don't think that would happen because I think they're fighting over that still.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, I'll go first this time. Issue one...
What time? We've never talked about this.
Fuck you. I was talking about in this episode in general.
In this recording session.
Yes, in this recording. And on today's recording session of Comic Timing, we're going to go into Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, parts 1 and 2. My name is Ian Levinstein, and I am talking light for no reason whatsoever. All right, so... Yeah, the one that we're technically reviewing in this episode is part 2. So I'm just going to go through part one real quick. Batman dies a lot. All right, onward to part two.
You're trying to beat my two-sentence summary.
Well, I mean that's the best way to describe it, right?
All
right.
You did.
Yeah, thank you. There are multiple scenarios of Batman dying in the first issue, and Bruce Wayne has a monologue in the background. Or at least
our favorite of which is when Alfred becomes the Joker.
Yes, we'll get into that once we're actually discussing the main thing here. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I forgive you.
Thank goodness. I can't live without your forgiveness.
Oh, darling. All right. So part two. What the fuck is wrong with us? Part two.
That's you.
I know. Part two was a little different. Not nearly as much as the whole dying thing. We had more of a Bruce Wayne narration going on about how he might be dead. And eventually we see him wind up with his mother. And she lets him know that Batman is the most awesome thing in the world, and before we know it, we see the bat symbol morphing into Bebe, and he gets reborn again. So it's sort of like a loop that happens, which is sort of, I guess, a little bit symbolic of the fact that Batman really never dies. Like, we'll never see the end of the character of Batman, even if somehow DC Comics stops publishing Batman. The stories of Batman will still be out there.
Let's do the time warp again.
And the art was good. It was a little shaky for me in parts in the second issue, but overall I think it did a decent job. I just don't think that this story was exactly what it was advertised to be, like the be-all, end-all story for Batman. I think this was a good Batman story, and maybe would have done better as a single, like, one-shot thingamabooby. Brent?
I don't know. Am I supposed to give a summary and then we're going to end it or something? Or something? Or discuss this?
Well, you do. Give me your thoughts.
All right. I liked this story, but, I remember reading the first issue and going, okay, that was kind of weird, and then waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting till the second issue, and then reading that and going, okay, that was kind of cool, and then reading online all the reviews of this second issue and how this story was going to be one of the most revered Batman stories ever, and it's the greatest thing to come in comics since Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen and all this other bullshit, and I just kind of don't get it.
Well, okay, let me remind you of something here, okay? This is Neil Gaiman. Everybody loves Neil Gaiman.
But that doesn't mean every Neil Gaiman story is great. I would say this is a good story, mm-hmm. not a great story. Just like his Eternals series. A mm-hmm. good story, not a great story. Mm-hmm. 1602, I would kind of lump in there too. Good story, not a great story. Didn't grab me by the balls or anything and go, wow, this is just like, okay, Marvel's in 1600s. Interesting, okay.
So what you're saying is that what you're saying is that you like it when comic books grab you by the balls.
Yeah, well, I read the first issue of Sandman when they did like it for 10 cents or whatever, some freebie giveaway. Mm-hmm. I read that.
Okay.
That grabbed me by the balls. So I was like, that's interesting. Anything else I've read that by him has not done that yet.
Well, look, I mean for what it was trying to be, and that is a sort of like, I guess, a summary of everything the Batman is. I guess it did a pretty decent job of that.
Yes, okay.
But it's just not the best thing ever. You know, it's
see,
not.
Like, Neil Gaiman, let me go, sorry, go back to this.
No, go ahead.
His Beowulf movie with the Roger Zemeckis, the Zemeckis one where it was digital.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote that screenplay. Grab me by the balls. That was an awesome film.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Starlight? No. Moonstar?
Stardust.
Stardust? Yes. I thought that was great. Grabbing by the balls because it's so different.
Eventually, I'm just going to have to go into this episode and just snip out every single time you say grab me by the balls.
Yeah, but you're not editing this. So.
No, I know that, but I'm going to have to just go eventually. Into it, eventually edit it all out and put it into one segment that we like to call Brent Gets Grabbed by the Balls.
Well, what if I cut out all those instances and I insert something else?
I'm still going to have a copy of it. Because I'm recording the episode.
All right. Damn it.
So yeah, go back. You were saying about being grabbed by the balls.
I'm just saying this didn't do it. I mean, it was sentimental at the end, and I liked the art, and I liked the way they did the storybook and the different, you know, silhouettes of Batman and everything inside it. I liked it.
Okay.
I like that.
Agree or disagree that this would have worked better as a 48-page special?
Both of these issues were 48 pages, I thought.
Fine.
Or 36, something like that.
96 or whatever it would have turned out to be, you know, like an actual just one shot.
It read better together because I read both of these right before we started recording. But I'm going to go back to what I was said in the previous recording session, that I did kind of find the format of the two issues to be a little too different to be one story.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first issue, you had these guys telling multi-page stories about Batman dying. You had Catwoman, who took up, I don't know, 5 or 10 pages. Then you had Alfred, who took up, you know, 5 pages. And that were the only two stories we get. And then you get to this thing, and I'm expecting more. And then you get a page here, a page there, a page, you know, 2 or 3 panels on a page that are actually showing you what happened. So it just kind of seemed like we're going to do this, and this is what our story is going to be about. And the first issue, you know, it's going to be vignettes of Batman dying. That would have been cool for 2 issues. And it's like, oh, comes time to run the second issue. Oh, I got to wrap things up and do a whole bunch of stuff. We'll just shove them to the side and, you know, go with the Goodnight Moon bit instead.
Well,
I kind of almost feel like there was some, like, big chunk in the middle where they just diverted from what they were meant to do originally.
Well, it's another reason why I think that this thing would have worked better as one full story, because I don't think you would have felt nearly as jarred if at the beginning, like, not just reading them together, you know, at, like, ages after you already first read the first one.
No, but I felt this way reading it together for the first time ever.
Okay.
Like, I read it today. I have not read the first issue since it first came out. And I have not read the second issue again since it first came out. And I finally put them together and read it as one single story to see what all the hullabaloo was about, and didn't get it. And my comments are based from this reading.
So would you like to see them add a little bit more into the story itself in the eventual hardcover, which is going to cost $20 for two issues?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to buy the hardcover, so no.
Okay.
I kind of wish that it were different.
All right. Well, what about the art? I mean, what'd you think of Kubert on this?
I love Kubert on Batman. I'm sorry. I just love him.
There's no reason to apologize, sir.
Absolutely, you're right. There's no. I love Kubert on Batman. Bring him back.
Yeah. But then every book will be late.
I did hear somewhere that he is still working on Batman something.
Okay.
So hopefully we're getting a miniseries from him that they're waiting until it's done.
Well, that would be nice. I'd be okay with that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, you know, anything that he's writing with, that he's doing art for, like, Kevin Smith or something, because that would suck, because Kevin Smith writing Batman is bad.
Well, the artist on that Batman was bad, and he's back again with Kevin Smith, so it'll be doubly bad.
Okay, good. Yeah. Batman Cacophony, I have the other 2 issues. I haven't read them yet, because I don't want to.
Yeah, I did that. Speaking of amateur art, I don't know why that guy let him do it.
Because he's Kevin Smith's BFF.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah, that's it. But all right, rolling back to this though, do you think Kubert's better or worse with Scott Williams on art? On inks, that is.
On inks.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel his style changes significantly with Scott Williams?
I don't
Williams
think inks? So. I think it. I still recognized it as Kubert. His draws his Batman a little differently at the end of the second issue here than what he was doing in Batman and Son.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just depicting Batman in so many different ways for this issue. It's hard to tell, you know, like, continuity between these things. So
okay. All right. And
I'm not really going to harp on him going, you know, the Batman here doesn't look the same as Batman 666 or whatever. No, it's two different stories, two different inkers, you know, whatever.
Speaking of different inkers, though, I mean, I love Scott Williams and I love Jim Lee, but I would adore seeing Jim Lee inked by someone else, like, now, you know, because I've been seeing nothing but Scott Williams and Jim Lee for years, that I really just want some diversity.
But Jim Lee does finish pencils. Like, I don't think Scott Williams is actually adding anything to Jim Lee's pencils.
Yeah, you think?
Not really. Hmm. It, like, back when they were first did All-Star Batman, Jim Lee was putting up, like, in the hiatus, that first one, not the one we're in now. Jim Lee would put up, like, a page of Batman pencils. Mm-hmm. And I would look at them on his MySpace blog, and I'd look at them and be like, holy fuck, that's amazing. And then you'd still get this the book back later on, 10 months down the line, and look at the same page and go, holy fuck, that's still amazing. Mm-hmm. It's Jim Lee. It's not Scott Williams. Like, if you've ever seen Jim Lee do convention sketches or something like that, mm-hmm. Scott Williams is not there to assist him. He yeah. does it. He inks it himself. It's still Jim Lee. It's still amazing.
True. Yeah. All right. Well, and what about our favorite segment here of the whole thing, which was in book one, the whole Alfred story?
You're going to make me repeat my comment?
Oh, you better damn believe it, because no one heard it the first time. You never made it.
You did.
It was in Earth 2.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Earth 2 listeners, you're going to get this again. I really like the Gentleman's Tale, the Gentleman's Tale with Alfred becoming the Joker. I liked it so much that I'd like to see this expanded, maybe from a 6 to 12 issue miniseries or something like that. Just run with this concept that Bruce Wayne is so messed up and so sucky at being a crime fighter, Alfred has to create his villains for him. And just kind of see the development start with Alfred being in the war and end the first issue with him getting the letter. He has to come back and work for the Waynes, you know, speed up through there till his parents die and he becomes Batman. Then, you know, see him create the villains and then speed up to the end so that the last issue is this climax where it's, you know, Bruce Wayne finding out what's going on and then dying because of it. Mm-hmm. So I'd really like to see this expanded because I thought that was a really, really strong concept. And almost if they made this the entire two issues, I would have been a lot happier.
And you would name it Whatever Happened to the Man of Crusader.
Yeah, right.
Sweet. Okay. No, I totally agree. I would love to see like a six-issue thing of that.
But do you agree that if this story had been the two issues, it might have been a little bit stronger?
No.
Because in the Alan Moore one, drawing comparisons, similar title, so we can. They kind of started it and then went and told that story in the middle. Uh-huh. And then came back around at the end and told you what was going on.
Nah, see, that wouldn't have worked for this because as opposed to the Alan Moore thing actually being about the Silver Age Superman, if this were to just be about some random Batman that we've never seen before from an alternate reality, it wouldn't have worked.
You know? But this was about all the Batmans we've seen before. Maybe that was my problem with it.
Well,
it's not bringing to a close the modern age Batman.
But it's not necessarily the Batman that we've seen before. It's all the Batman that could have been. You know, and what I'm saying here is that this could easily be in continuity. I mean, this could be part of the Omega Sanctum, which is supposed to show you all of these, you know, different lives and you know, you're supposed to be the only way to get out of it is if you live through it. So what if this entire scenario that we just saw and whatever happened to the Caped Crusader actually happened to our Bruce Wayne? And that birth we see at the end is, in many ways, the rebirth of Bruce Wayne surviving that. And now he's going to be in a cave. You okay with that?
I
want
to know how he gets from the 1940s to a cave, but okay.
Magic. You don't need to explain.
I mean, I can understand how this can be in continuity. Absolutely. Because mm-hmm. the whole near-death experience, you're imagining this thing. Yeah, I get it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but going back to what you said, though, it might have been a little better. Well, not better, but it might have been a little bit more on par with a comparison of whatever happened to insert and here, if it would have actually been the end of our Batman. But
yes, I think so.
But the end of our Batman already happened, technically. For now. In Final Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? What do you do?
I don't know. You put them together and charge $20 for a hardcover with some extras.
Brilliant! Especially if you say Neil Gaiman like just enough times, because then everybody will come running.
Exactly.
Neil Gaiman.
Put Neil Gaiman as a title, and then just put Batman, Robin, and everything else above Neil Gaiman.
Ooh, I got it. Neil Gaiman presents That Guy Named Batman.
You know what's weird, though? It says Batman Detective Comics. And it used to just say Detective Comics, like we knew Batman was in it.
Yeah.
And now we're just dumb enough to go, Batman Detective Comics, like, what?
What other Detective Comics are there?
Yeah, I don't know. Are they going to have Batwoman Detective Comics when Rucka takes over?
Ooh, I like that. And I am looking forward to that, by the way.
So am I. The J.H. Williams art looks amazing.
Hells yeah. And what is the backup to that? Oh, yes, question. Kick-Ass.
Yes, Cully Hamner question.
Kick-Ass. Mm-hmm. All right, so rating, sir.
I'm going to give it a 3. I'm really not happy with a lot of these books this week, this month.
Jeez.
Can you tell? It's just weird. They were all just mediocre, I guess.
You know what I do actually? I blame you working. You know, it's ruined you.
No, because I'm awake and I was just as fun, peppy, and annoying this episode as normal.
Actually, less annoying because less one-liners in this.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think it was certainly on par with, I guess, a good Batman story. That's about it. I mean, it's not the best Batman ever, far from it, but it's good enough. And that's really all I can say in this situation. Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? Wow.
I think so.
Okay.
We should tell everybody that I updated the forums on the Comic Time and Gains as sponsor with January discounts. We should probably change that title to Review Corner Books or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to wind up doing considering that we haven't really been updating that as much as we should.
Well, I did that today at work. So
at work, yeah, because you were doing some very
I was doing
important
so
work.
Much.
Yeah.
So next month, actually, I think all these are out. Short Halloween comes out soon. Next time it would be Batman in Barcelona, Dragon's Night number 1, Spider-Man Short Halloween with Kevin Maguire, and Killapalooza from Vertigo, I think.
Yeah, we did a good job of picking Batman 2 months in a row. Even technically.
No,
I know.
We didn't.
It was like three months, we promise.
After that, Hellblazer 256, Runaways number 11, Land of Lost number 1, then Justice League, Cry for Justice, New Avengers 55, and Death Clock versus the Goon.
Which probably only I'm going to like.
Right.
Out of the two of us.
Right.
Hey, but miracles can happen.
Miracles can happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, before we go, and I'm not sure if this is actually going to actually even air in time, but let me read this anyway. This was sent to me from listener of the show, Paul T. Spataro. And here we go. Dear Ian, I'm a longtime comics fan. My love of books started back in the early 70s when my oldest brother gave me Marvel's Greatest Comics reprints of the Galactus trilogy. Since then, I've been hooked, even though I did have a brief hiatus in the late 80s. When my wife bought me an iPod, I became hooked on podcasts as a way to keep up on books that I'm not buying and to keep in touch with the community, as my wife and kids think that my comic addiction is insane. I'm sending this email to several podcasts that I've been listening to. I've written to some of you before, but for some, this is the first time. The brother who gave me my first comic my first books passed away a few years ago from pancreatic cancer. Since then, I've participated in the annual Cancer Walk fundraiser in his honor. This year, I thought that it would be a good idea to send an appeal to you to see if you would consider mentioning my fundraiser and or putting a link on your website. I recently participated in the Star Trek review for the Two Guys Talking podcast, and Mike Wilkerson was kind enough to have me record an appeal and is going to put it in the links in the show notes. I realize that I'm asking a lot. This is a very important topic for me. If you can't do it, I appreciate that you took the time to read my note. Rest assured, I will continue listening to your podcasts. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Paul T. Spataro. And his fundraising page, just so you guys know, can be located at, as I load it here, it's the Lunks. It's, yeah, here we go. It's going to be impossible to read this, so let's see. It's Lust Garden community.org, and I'm going to have a full link to it in the show notes, as it's an impossible to read URL with the /page.aspx and question marks and yada yada yada. But if you guys do have the time and actually do want to help out on this, that would be probably a good thing for Andrew, and he's a listener to the show and everything. So let's return the favor of his niceness by being nice to him, and just donate a couple dollars. It's really all you need to do. So there you go. Brent can donate some money because he's got money now because he's rich. Right, rich guy?
Are you even there?
I put my mic on mute so I wouldn't talk over you. And I'm talking to the screen, going, I haven't gotten paid yet, jackass. Are you even there? I need to buy a car yet. Hello.
Hello. You know, you should talk to the screen more often. It's probably more interesting.
I should.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that, I believe. And actually, is there anything else I can mention? Oh, yeah. So, Mr. Cassina, do you have any BK's Bullets upcoming?
No, but I do have a plan.
Ooh.
I'm thinking that since we're kind of like sporadic here with comic timing, maybe as I'm rereading these things, like I guess I could do one on the two Preacher trades I just finished and just put them out on the comic timing feed and called Brent Rereads.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know?
Might as well,
just
dude.
Quick, maybe like 10, 20 minutes.
And for that matter, I might very well be putting out on the feed, I might even title it as a Geek Speak report, and I'm going to be doing reviews of all the cons I've been to this summer, beginning with Anime Boston, which I went to this past weekend. No, not my first con of the year.
I was going to say, I'm just going to repost the MegaCon episodes as Geek Speak report review.
Yeah, great. Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I love it because, like, you know, I post on Facebook. Yeah, hey, first con went well, and Brent's response is, "Hey, did you forget MegaCon?" and I'm like, "Yes, I forgot MegaCon and New York Comic Con." I mean, what the fuck, man? No, it's the summer con season right now.
Oh, shut up! You know I did that on purpose.
I know.
Quit your bitching.
Wah. If I don't bitch, what else am I gonna do? So yeah, Anime Boston was this past week, and a few weeks is the Anime Next convention, which I'm going to, and then from there goes Otakon, and then San Diego Comic Con.
And I'm going to San Diego in June.
Oh, great! Yeah.
No, I'm going for work. Yeah. So.
Oh, really?
Psych. You wish.
Yeah. Well, you said June, so right away I knew you weren't talking about San Diego Comic Con. Yeah, and speaking of June, also there'll be Mocha Fest, which I might actually bring my recorder to if I can get a couple of interviews with independent creators and whatnot, because it's taking place at a new location this year, and it might actually be easier to get around and actually get interviews and stuff, but yeah, there you go. And listen to Raging Bullets, why not? RagingBullets.com. No reason whatsoever, I just felt like mentioning them. Because actually, no, this is the reason. Because they've been helping me get through my days. I mean, I sent that voicemail to them. I sent that voicemail to them for a reason, because when I'm working down in the basement of Doom and have nothing better to do with my life than listen to podcasts, what better way to pass the time than with a 4-hour episode about, like, you know, Crisis or whatever, you know? Just roll it up and listen to Raging Bullets, and before you know it, your day will be over. Voila. And you can listen to some old BK's Bullets if you want to. Really, really old ones. Really, really old ones. Did I mention a role?
Yeah, for me, it just went crisis. And I was like, geez, you're putting the emphasis on this. And then I realized what was happening.
Crisis. The system is down. All right, and this episode of Comic Timing, yet again, is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. And yet again, insert promo here.
If I do it.
Yeah, I know. Like last time when you didn't actually fucking do it.
What was all that about him saying me not doing the ad at the end? Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. So, just a quick reminder, our picks for this month coming out in, it was like August or September or something like that. Fantastic Four, number 570, Eaglesham and Hickman, 75% off retail, so your price would be 75 cents. That's a steal. Doom Patrol, number 1 from DC, Giffen, DeMatteis, Matthew Clark, the guy from Outsiders. 50% off retail price, your price $2. And Days Missing number 1, Dale Keown and Phil Hester. I'm assuming from Top Cow or Image. 50% off rear retail. Dale Keown cover is 50 cents. Phil Hester limited cover is $2. So go get those at heroescorner.com. And we'll see you guys next week, or next month, or next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
And make sure to use the promo code CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS, to get an additional 5% off on your order from HeroesCorner.com. They are the best damn customer service around. They are HeroesCorner.com. Alrighty. That was weird. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geekspeak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. Hopefully by the time you go there, that fucking Heroes by Night ad won't be there anymore. Please cut that out. Seriously, dude. Like, three times last night, I'm watching TV, and I have to mute my fucking computer because that goddamn Heroes by Night ad keeps starting up by itself.
I didn't hear the ad until I came home today, but I read about it on a forum, and I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
And you were like, oh, that thing.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't work at work.
Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. It would be graciously appreciated. And that's about it. So for Mr. Cassina, who is going to sleep at a reasonable hour tonight, how about that? And Mr. Levinstein, that's me. There's always time for comics. I figured I'd change it up a little bit, because at the end always.
Mm-hmm.
Booyah.
Booyah. All right.
We are done.
Cool. Do you want to pick out some books?
Yes, actually. And just in case, I'm going to hit the end record button so it doesn't get lost.
Yes, please.
Yes.
With a different book and then get back to these.
What a good idea. In 5, 4, 3...
What was the deal with the power?
The deal was I got flustered by you hanging up, and then when I went to actually connect back to you, the plug pulled out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because my batteries have been dead on this for a while, and I've been using the plug-in power.
Okay. Well, put it to the side so you don't... No, for real, you started speaking, and then you just went, and I'll wait for it to catch up, and then...
Then it never did.
No, it wasn't you, like, repeatedly saying, it was the computer.
Okay. See, eventually you should have just went the...
The system is down.
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It went, you know, and then it went silent, like you finished your sentence and you're waiting for me to say something.
What the fuckity fuck? Is this on your end or mine? That's what I want.
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Jesus, monkey fuck. All right, hold on. Let me.
I just quit a whole bunch of processes while you're fixing your cord.
That's exactly what I'm doing on mine right here. I'm getting rid of anything that's unimportant. Let's see.
Kill.
Death. Die. All right. Yeah. So yeah, on my end, it said brought to you by Heroes Corner over at HeroesCorner.com. So all right.